Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? We are back to review the latest episode of The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 3, Ghosts, The Threat of the Whispers, Return Paranoia to Alexandria, Carol battles the need for revenge and sleep, and Eugene is friend-zoned for life. We've got our special segments, we've got our favorite kill, we've got our MVP of the episode, we've got news and gossip, we've got predictions, we've got a lot to say. Don't click away.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, with the buzz...
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? We are back. Hello, beautiful panel.
What's up?
We're very, very excited to be here on this beautiful Monday night. We've had a day to let everything sit and marinate. We've had our, you know, sit our feelings about the episode, you guys. We are very excited to be here with you all. I am Timothy Michael. I am joined by a beautiful panel. I've got Krista Flenge here.
Hey, guys.
And there's Miss April Wissenhanton
there. Hey, everybody.
And I've got Benny Adams over there.
What's up, guys?
My beautiful panel. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Very excited. Everybody that is in the chat, I've got April in the chat tonight. So we're very excited to hear you your guys' opinions. Quick note, you guys, we just did a mini photo shoot.
We did.
So look forward to that. Probably not this episode, but next episode we'll be giving you guys a little sneak peek of what we're going to be using as our promo shots. We're very excited. I know. Thank you, Ryan, our wonderful engineer, for giving us that soundbite. We've got a lot to talk about in the episode tonight, you guys. We've got, you know, the Whispers are returning, which is, you know, making Alexandra really paranoid. You know, Carol is battling a lot. She just wants to get revenge. She's not sleeping. Eugene, we have to talk about that scene because it was one of the exciting and pain and gut-wrenching scenes that I've seen in a long time.
I cringe for him.
Yeah, and there was no blood involved. We've got our special segments. We've got our favorite kill. We've got our MVP, just like I said earlier. We've got a lot to talk about, you guys. So let's dive into the episode. I want to hear your overall thoughts.
You know, it was an interesting episode to me, different than the one so far this season. I find myself being, I don't know if I'm getting there too soon, but I find myself being like, why aren't y'all fighting back? Mm. Like, tonight is the first night that I really, really thought that. Like, they've been dealing with all this other stuff, but tonight is when I was like, if Rick was there in that moment, they wouldn't have just been like, okay, let's walk away. Maybe they would have because they knew, you know, Michonne made a good point. We have to walk away. We can't just, you know, we have to figure out this. But I was like, they're not even taking the steps right now to start fighting.
I really like this episode. I've liked all of the episodes so far this season. Mm-hmm. It's just been great. But I really just love Alpha. I think she's like different than any character we've seen, and villain too, because she's a terrible person, but she's also got, like, even talking to Carol today, like, the motherly aspect, and she's, like, mother to mother.
Yeah.
She's just, like, a totally different villain, so I love her, but the situation, I want them to fight back to, so it's, like, but it's so hard, because what are you gonna do? They got a horde that they can just set on you?
Yeah.
Like, they're screwed.
Yeah. Bouncing off of that, I cannot stand Alpha.
Really?
And I love that I can't stand her.
Yeah.
Because that's how good of a job she's doing as playing this character. Mm-hmm. You know, she's awful. And like you said, that scene between her and Carol was amazing. And like you said, I do want them to start fighting back. Because I feel like for the past couple of seasons, we've seen them in situations where they don't fight back and they're the ones that are giving to the villain. So I definitely want to see them step up and be like, this is my land. Go away.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the episode. I am excited that they're gearing up this whole feud between Carol and Alpha. I really enjoy Alpha for the same reason that you do, Benny. I think that she is one of those characters that you love to hate, just like Negan. Like, she's slowly creeping up to the Negan status because it's like one of those characters where you're like, I hate you, but I love you.
Yeah.
You're doing such a good job. And April, to your point about them fighting back, I completely disagree. I think that if Rick was here, they wouldn't be fighting back. Because look at what they did with Negan. I mean, Negan was asking a lot more from them.
True.
And, you know, Rick was like, okay, let's keep feeding into them. Let's just, you know, give them what they want.
Yeah.
And in this case, you know, the Whisperers, they're not asking for that much. They're asking for a border, and they're asking for you to stay on your side of the border.
That's a great point. I mean, that's something we have to think about, too. Like, they're not actually having to do anything for them, but mm-hmm. I don't know if that's almost, like, worse, because, like we said last week, they're just, like, kind of constantly living in fear, and that's not something that they want to do. That's not mm-hmm. something that anyone wants yeah. to do, but yeah. that's, like, I think that's what Alpha literally wants from them. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the same thing. It's tough for me to say I love her character. I do love her character, but, like, literally, I loathe her character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's just a different kind of villain, but I loathe it in a good way, if yeah. that makes
exactly.
sense. Like, she's very interesting. But I think she literally, like, that's what she wants. She yeah. wants them to just fear her, and obviously it's working.
And she's so calm, too.
Yeah.
She's, like, when she's threatening them, she threatens them in a calm manner, yeah. which makes yeah. her even more terrifying.
Yeah,
she's
it's like your mom actress. That says, if you don't... Oh, yeah. And you're like, yeah. okay. Yeah. You're like, oh, fear
oh, she's
for my
got
life.
The calm voice out. Oh, no.
Yeah. April, to your point, with the whole border thing and the fact that they're not asking for much, mm-hmm. we understand that Alexandria, Michonne's group, all of them, they really can't go anywhere because they have their camps set up. Mm-hmm. The Whisper group, however, they are pretty much nomads. They can go wherever they want, yet they choose to stay in the same place or in the same area with this herd. Mm-hmm. Why do you guys think that is?
Because they have a nuclear weapon, you know? Yeah. And not just that, I feel like they also probably feel the same way. They've got to know the land. They're settled in there. They've got their, you know, the routes they take, but... Yeah, it's like a nice nuclear weapon to have if you plan on making enemies in the future, which they kind of are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, true. It's tough for me because I'm like, you know, I would just assume that they would keep roaming, but obviously mm-hmm. what you say, of course, makes sense. But I'm like, what's the, I guess, like I said, I think I'm just thinking too far ahead because I'm like, what's mm-hmm. the end game here? Like, do you, you know, at some point, you know, now they're taking more land because of this, at some point it's going to become too yeah. much, which I'm sure will be a catalyst for them. But I guess I'm just like, now I think there's no chance of them leaving because of the Lydia situation. Yeah. But like, they haven't seen them in so long. Yeah. They didn't even know that they knew they crossed the border. You know, they guessed maybe, but like they assumed they didn't. So it's like, just...
Which that was freaky today too, when she like named the exact three times they had crossed.
Oh, we're gonna get into
it. December 12th.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, no, she didn't. Yeah, basically though.
We're definitely getting into that because that last scene was intense.
No.
And I think they just haven't left yet because, like she said, when she was talking about why they did cross over because there was a fire, and she was like, "Well, fire is normal; it happens." I think they decide to leave when something goes against them, yeah. and nothing is going against mm-hmm. them right now. And they want to instill fear into these yeah. people, and so that's why I think they're staying.
I think what I enjoyed from the last episode was that we've seen our survivors go out and forage for food and try mm-hmm. to find supplies and stuff like that. With the Whisper group, yeah, they still need food, and I guess they still need basic supplies, not yeah. as much as our group does, but I like that they showed them foraging for walkers, because that's what they look for as a resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just thought that's interesting. So I guess it's as hard to find a group of walkers to kind of corral into the area that you want them in as it is for our survivors to find, you know, yeah. food and supplies.
That's mm-hmm. a great question, though. What do they eat? Like, we don't see them, you know, obviously Alexandria and Hilltop, they're a community, so they have yeah. to have things mm-hmm. to run the community. But, like, we don't see them with, like, a stock of stuff. We don't see them. And that's why I'm like, why are y'all so, they're afraid because of the yeah. nuclear weapon. We know that. But, like, why are y'all, where's your stuff?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like, y'all don't have ammunition. You don't have this. Like, where do you keep your food?
True.
Yeah.
They eat that's the true. Walkers.
Yeah. I mean, maybe
they want to be one with the yeah. walkers.
Gosh, I guess when, you know, the zombie apocalypse happens and there's no food, you got to evolve somehow to start eating the
I
walkers.
I just picture them, like, digging in the mud and eating bugs and stuff.
Yeah.
Just
or like, that too. Yeah. yeah. Like, well, real we gross. Saw, you know, Lydia teaching Henry that how to eat the worm.
Yeah.
So maybe that is what they eat. I think you have a good point, Krista. So, starting in the episode, they start the timeline, and I really enjoyed the fact that they did this because it gave you a sense of how bad this is. And we start at 6 a.m., Carol's waking up, she's going about her day in the windmill. I actually enjoyed that. And it's pretty much going from hour 2 to hour 14, and there's more walkers coming, and even more walkers coming. Hour 31, hour 37, hour 44. So at hour 44, we can pretty much say that there has been a two-day ongoing onslaught of walkers to Alexandria. Mm-hmm. And the writers and the director and the DP did a really, really fantastic job of it capturing the exhaustion of our characters.
Yeah.
Because wouldn't you be?
I loved this scene.
I did too.
The whole montage of the hours changing, it was so well done. It was like one of my favorite things ever. But yeah, I'd be tired.
Yeah.
And not only are you just like pulling an all-nighter to do homework, you're killing zombies. Like, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And then you have to be worried if like more are coming constantly because they are coming constantly. And then you have the fear, wait, is this from the fire? Is this from the satellite? Or is this just from Alpha sending her walkers to us?
Right. Yeah. Like, it's like Judith was saying, like, is it safe to sleep yet? You know, they weren't sleeping whatsoever because they constantly have to like wait and see if these walkers are going to continue coming or when they're going to come.
Yeah. Yeah. So at hour 49, our team pretty much figures out, like, they had a clue of where these walkers were coming from, but at hour 49, they're pretty much set in the fact that, you know, Alpha is sending these walkers to kind of destroy us.
Right.
And we see this really intense scene with Gamma, who, by the way, you guys, I didn't even realize, and I know that she was on The Talking Dead, is Thora Birch. I didn't know that she was Gamma. So, I mean, it's October, you guys. We have to talk about Hocus Pocus. I mean, it's one of the classics of Halloween time.
Number two favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's a great one. Fun fact, April Thora Birch is Gamma.
That's right. I had no idea.
I had no idea either. I mean, it shows that we don't watch The Talking Dead, you guys, because we're so much better than them.
Exactly.
So, pretty much Gamma, who is played by Thora Birch, surprise April, tells them to go to the North Border because Alpha wants to meet. In this situation, would you guys go?
You have to, right? Like, I mean, I forget whether it was Daryl or Michonne that said that. I think it was Michonne, where she said, at this point, she's only asking to talk. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not, if it was Negan or if it was somebody else, we would have been shot up by bullets already or this. And she has the ability to put this, you know, tens of thousands or however many walker horde on us. So she when the woman was like, they killed our people. We need to go and attack them. Like, I think they could. Technically, they have the power to kill the Whisperers.
They really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they don't have
the
backup.
The herd. Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah. But it's just like, if you take out whoever's guarding those, I don't know. There's got to be. We need to game plan.
Let's put some explosives in that.
We need a game plan. And that's exactly what Michonne was saying in the team meeting. Like, you can't just react to something. And this is what makes Michonne a good leader.
Yeah.
And this is just one of those cases where we see her being a good leader and just doing a really fantastic job in the role that Rick pretty much passed down to her. Whereas when she's like, do you have a plan? Like, you guys want justice, and I understand that, but do you have a plan when this entire horde comes into Texas? Then what are you going to do?
Right.
I just thought, I mean, it was a good point.
No, it was a great Michonne moment, and it was, I mean, like, obviously just shut everybody down. But, and like, we get, they have plenty of reason to be afraid. They have plenty of reason to not want their leaders and everybody who's in charge to go. You know they're going to talk at this place where everybody's heads were cut off and placed on spikes. Mm-hmm. It's not like the best thing to do, but I mean, do y'all think there was another option?
No,
I would have done it hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down, because if you didn't do it, then you'd be living in the unknown. Like, what is she going to do? You know, at least going down there, you have a chance of explaining yourself and talking to her.
That's a good point. No, and I completely agree with you. I would have been right there next to Benny. Like, hey, what do you want to talk about? Because, I mean, it's better the enemy that you know than the one that you don't know. So I completely agree with you guys. I would have went also. So they pretty much established a plan. Carol, Daryl, and Michonne will go to the border. Everybody else will go and fight.
Right.
Speaking of, we get a little bit more action from our man Negan, which is what we wanted. I mean, he's not just, you know, on cleanup duty or, you know, picking up garbage anymore. He is assigned to Aaron to go and fight because they're so low on soldiers because of, like I said, these onslaught from different positions of these walkers.
Right.
Were you guys excited to see Negan kind of back in the saddle?
So excited.
Yeah.
I was like, tonight will mark the episode of where Negan is back, quote unquote. Not in a bad way, but I was like, I miss him actually being a part of, a real, real part of the show. And like, in the throes, and not just in a cell, and not just like, you know, this like 2 minute scene we get of him every episode. Like, I wanted to see, I think we need more of him at this point, you know, missing other characters and already having in our mind that we're going to be missing other characters soon. So I loved it. But I did especially love, though, that Aaron was not taking any crap from Negan.
No.
he was like standing, you're doing this, and
I was annoyed by Aaron in this episode. Yeah, I don't like. I understand where Aaron is coming from. Mm-hmm. Negan, you know, he did horrible things in the past, but you know, it's been years. He's trying to redeem himself. The guy wouldn't even give him those, whatever that metal thing was, the crowbar, to kill the zombies. And I'm just like, dude, just give the guy a break, you know?
Also, but you're lacking an arm. You could use the help. So.
Yeah.
I mean, get the fear, though, and yeah, but it sucked.
I forgot about the his husband thing. Eric, I forgot that Negan was technically directly responsible for that. So, like, it's going to be tough, no matter how many years it's been, whatever, to look him in the face and for him to be... Especially with what Negan said. Yeah. Like, Negan is his own worst enemy. He just can't not make these little snide comments.
Yeah.
And, like, you know he thinks he's just being funny, but he doesn't remember who he killed. He doesn't remember he killed Aaron's husband. So, like, he's like, well,
here's my thing.
Just keeping my people alive.
I disagree with you guys. I'm sorry. I really do like Aaron as a character, but it has been 7 years. And I understand that you don't necessarily get over a loved one's loss. And I'm not saying that he should have. I know. It's been 7 years. But what I'm saying is this is a person that is a resource.
Yeah.
And that is how you're supposed. That's how I would look at it. Now, I understand. Exactly. Especially when you're low on people. Like, look, take what you can get.
Yeah.
Sorry. And, like you said, he's only got one arm. So, take all the help that you can get.
I mean, that arm gets cooler every episode, though. Did you see, like, the pepper spray thing he had? I was like, whoa, what are we going to have next week?
So, we get to the North Border, Michonne, Daryl, and Carol, and some other members of the group.
Yeah.
And there was this really, pretty much, a quick moment of Carol at Henry's grave. And like you said, April, getting to the North Border isn't the best place to meet for them, for our group at least. But I could see why Alpha did it, because it's a reminder. It's a reminder of this is what you did when you last crossed me, and I can do it again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly the reason why they wanted to meet at the North Border.
Yeah.
But that scene with, you know, Carol just looking at Henry, and this kind of just pretty much sets off a snowball effect throughout the episode and how guilty she is and how much she isn't complacent with what happened.
I mean, she's literally... do we know what kind of medication she's taking?
Medication.
No, I just assumed they were, like, caffeine pills.
Caffeine pills.
That's what she made it sound like,
So, like, she's hallucinating throughout the episode. She's doing that. So, like, going here maybe probably isn't the best thing for Carol to do, but Carol's also not gonna go. But I'm like, oh, how convenient that little H. Henry's necklace is still sitting there. But
who's gonna steal it?
Touche. But I thought that, I'm like, Carol goes with her gun. Like, we haven't seen Carol do something like that in forever. So I'm like, it just has bad news written all over it.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's Carol, so.
So I love that it's like how many years post, like, the world ending, and we still have Adderall and caffeine pills.
Yeah.
And
those will affect Also, the expiration date on those.
Obviously.
Yeah. Expiration dates are just suggestions.
Now we know.
So, this is when we get into this intense scene once Alpha arrives, and, you know, they try to explain themselves on why they've crossed the border.
Yeah.
And, you know, Michonne tries to sit there. It's like when you lie to your parents. It's like, we've only done it once, and then Alpha was not having it. She's like, no. Three times, and she pretty much lists the
and there's nothing you can say. She's like,
literally, like,
it's like a teacher.
No, that wasn't us. Like, you can't, like, lie your way out of that. What really scared me about this moment was that, they are always watching you. That's creepy.
Even in that winter scene, like, do you remember? It was so quiet out there. Where were they watching?
Where were they?
That's crazy. I'd be like, oh no.
Do you think they could possibly have some sort of, like, setup? Because, like, they can't just be like they would die. They can't just be like
someone
hiding
on the inside.
Trees. Maybe.
Yeah, like, maybe, because it's like they know everything, apparently.
Yeah. Well, they need, obviously, they want something because they've crossed over their borders. And instead of shedding blood like Negan's group did, they want more land. And obviously there are some consequences that come with that, because you're limited their hunting grounds, their supply runs, I mean, is a lot smaller now. And they point that out, and then this is when Carol is like over it. She's like, no, we don't have to sit here and listen to this BS. And
biatch,
you do.
And Michonne is the one that stops her and apologizes on behalf of her. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever been in a fight with somebody and your friends are holding you back and you feel like you are completely right in a situation and that person apologizes on your behalf.
And you're like, ugh.
Yeah, you're like, don't apologize for me. I'm not sorry. Like, that's how I felt this scene was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Carol literally shot at Alpha.
Yeah.
We can't, you know, forget the importance of that. So what's worse, or why Michonne did that, I'm sure Michonne agrees with Carol. Like, 100%. She's like, no, we don't have to sit here. You know, Daryl said the same thing, but like, you shooting this person affects everybody
else.
It gets
everyone in Alexandria killed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
So like, she had no choice but to be like, I'm sorry. I know, I mean, that it like made it me sucks. Angry when she did that, but like, it's what had to be done.
Yeah.
This was my favorite scene by far, when Carol just stood up and I was just like, go ahead, Carol, speak your mind.
Blow her out of
and
here.
I agreed with everything she did. Yeah. I was bummed that Michonne like stepped in, and but I understood why.
Yeah. I agree. I didn't want it to happen. Like, that would have been amazing had she like actually hit her. But like, honestly, just because of Alpha being like, I'm not gonna walk away until she bows down her head or whatever.
Then I was like, shoot her in the face. Yeah.
I was like, shoot her.
Shoot her.
Everybody in the chat thinks that she should have done the same thing too. They say Carol needs to be going wild. That was Glow Loves Jomo. Carol needs to go wild and expletive Alpha up.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Sasha and Rosita did it to Negan.
Yeah.
So, and Carol's a lot more badass than those two are put together.
True.
Not insulting Rosita and Sasha, but we've seen what Carol can do.
Yeah.
So if Carol wants to take out Alpha,
she will find a way.
Yeah. She will find a way. Now, before we get into Negan and Aaron, because they had a really cool storyline, I'm going to shoot it over to Benny for some words.
Yeah, so we here at AfterBuzz TV just want to thank you guys for making us the ESPN of TV talk. And in order for us to grow even more, we need your help. So if you're on YouTube right now, go ahead and give us a thumbs up. If you're on iTunes, go ahead and give us a 5-star. Working at AfterBuzz means so much to us. We just want to continue to learn and grow and to continue giving you guys amazing, good content.
We love you guys. We do this show for you guys, and we wouldn't be here without you all. So we want to see your reactions. We want to see some comments in the chat. I'm going to shoot it over to April, maybe some shout-outs.
Oh, we got, this is a good one. DG, Carol, and Alpha are going to go rumble, no doubt. We got JJ, Danya Diaz, Debbie Broussard, lots of people in the chat. So keep letting us know what y'all think, because y'all are giving me some good stuff over here.
I want to hear what you guys are thinking about the episode. I also want to know what you guys think about Negan and Aaron. Mm-hmm. So there was this really interesting moment between Negan and Aaron where, you know, they're fighting walkers together and, you know, Negan picks up a crowbar. Aaron is like having none of it. So he's like, no, you can put that down. Did you think that was unfair?
Yeah.
A little, because like, he has this broomstick. That's what Morgan used for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So a broomstick could be just as whatever. But I was like, he's just trying to help you. Like, I understand Aaron probably felt fear, but like, maybe does Aaron not know that Negan did try to go away and then came back? I feel like he should know that as one of the leaders of the community.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't think he should have been as like, heck no.
Agreed.
Because he, guess what? He's trying to save your butt.
And it's also, like, in hindsight, where is Negan gonna go if he leaves you?
Right.
All of his people are gone. Like, he's gonna, that's what happened last time. Like, he's just gonna come back. So technically you're his people now. So it's just, but like, putting your faith in a guy who 7 years ago killed your love of your life. It's like, I get his, like, the hardness of it, but
he's
not going anywhere.
I wonder if he wanted something to happen to Negan, you know?
Probably.
Yeah. I know. That's a good point.
A big, like, oops, my bad.
No,
I didn't use a stick right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, directly his fault. No, that's a good point, Benny. I think that that's exactly what Aaron was doing, and Aaron knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And, but I also feel on some other level that he, it was a power trip, because he was like, as long as I don't give you this crowbar, you're not getting what you want, and I still have the power.
Yeah.
So not only is it, you know, that reason, but I feel like there's also a power struggle in there as well. I mean, there's two, like, pretty much two strong, very strong men here. They're going to be struggling with power. I mean, it's just what they do. And they have this really intense moment where, you know, Negan pretty much says, you know, I did what I had to do back then. And then Aaron thinks that it's okay to bring up Negan's wife. Which, okay, fine, if you're going for, you know, you killed my husband or boyfriend, fiance, lover, then I'm going to bring up your wife.
Right.
And he pretty much says, you know, she died hating you. You will never see her again. And you could see that this strikes a chord with Negan.
Yeah.
And do you think that this alone, his reaction alone, shows how much Negan has changed?
He always had, I mean, this is a weird sentence to say, but he always had an affinity for his wife. Mm-hmm. Like
Even though he had a concubine.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, he had many wives after that. But anytime someone would talk about his wife or it would come up, like, he seemed to genuinely love her. And this is in, like, the heyday of Negan. So I'm not surprised that it kind of struck a chord with him, but I'm like, okay, Negan, can you dish it out but not take it? Because like, what he said technically wasn't much worse than what you were saying right before.
Or stuff you always say.
Yeah. Like,
or stuff you've done.
Yeah.
Like, just saying. So then Hogweed comes and plays a little role in this because, you know, Aaron kind of gets taken from behind. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean it like that. You guys? Oh, I didn't mean it like that. You know what I meant. Get your mind out of the gutter, you guys. What I meant to say was the walkers sneak up behind Aaron and they, you know, tackle him to the floor. And he gets blinded by this substance.
Yeah.
Hogweed. I didn't even know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
And what I loved about this was that Negan kind of watched him and followed him watching him struggle and then stepped in and saved him when he needed to. And I think Aaron knew that he was there the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
But Negan was like, oh yeah, I just saw your light. I think that whole scene was, no, you knew that I was here the whole time, but I came and saved you because you needed me. So maybe you should start showing me a little bit more respect. That's what I feel like that was.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I like that they're getting there with him. And I think that Aaron has a good voice for other people because people tend to listen to him. It was a good moment. It was the moment maybe of Negan kind of being like, look, you're my people now.
Yeah.
Without saying you're my people.
Yeah.
I let you struggle because you made me use a stick.
He got him a lesson.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
It was just like the start of someone starting to trust him. And so it's kind of like a domino effect where, you know, you have this guy who's starting to trust him a little bit, and then you'll soon have other people of the community.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's go back to our group at the North Border. So as soon as they disperse, Carol thinks that she sees three of the Whisperers in the forest. She shoots her gun and they disband. So everybody thinks that they need to take cover. So they take cover at this school called the Barnett Academy. They kind of go through it. They see that it's clear. And then this is when we see the first kind of sense that Carol is kind of losing it. So she picks up a textbook. She sees pretty much all the kids that she's lost.
Right.
Which really freaked me out because I didn't realize it was that many.
It was a lot. Yeah. At first I only saw Lizzie's face and then I rewound it and I was like,
yeah. Yeah, it's like Lizzie, her sister, Henry, Sophia.
All of the kids. Yeah,
it's a lot.
So Carol's not going to be a teacher anytime soon, you guys. But this is what I was like, is she hallucinating? They kind of established in the episode.
They blurred the lines, yeah.
That she wasn't getting much sleep. So I didn't really understand what was going on. And then we had this moment between her and Daryl, where Daryl pretty much tries to get through to his best friend, and you know, he tells her about this like really endearing story about this girl that steps in front of his dad's truck when his dad was a trucker. And I just thought that this was a really cool moment, only to find out that it never happened.
Yeah. It was such a believable moment too. I was like, that wasn't real.
Yeah.
It was, I was having a little trouble keeping up at this point with like what was actually happening and what wasn't. Like,
yeah.
Because that obviously to all of us seemed very real. And then you have the scene where she's having the dream and like Daryl is there.
Right.
And can they go to the store and get jam and all that. Yeah.
I was like, so do you have feelings for Daryl? I'm not throwing that back in there because I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I was like, Daryl's in your dream, not Ezekiel. I was having a little trouble, but it's got to be like majorly messing her up.
Yeah.
The fact that like she's literally living out sequences. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, kudos to the writers for capturing it that well, because I feel like they wanted us in the mindset of Carol, because she's obviously confused.
She thinks it's real.
She thinks it's real. We think that it's real.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they did a great job in, like, you know, throwing us into her mindset.
Yeah.
And so we have this really intense moment where, you know, she asks Daryl for, you know, one more hour of watch, and she goes and she gets caught in a trap, and I still was like, is this real? Is this not real? I was confused.
Yeah.
And we see Gamma standing there as she's hanging, and these walkers come in. And At that moment, I just thought it was a dream. Honestly, same. I didn't think that mm-hmm. it was real. Once I found out that it was real, I was like, well, that was Gamma teaching Carol a lesson yeah. for crossing Alpha.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely thought it was a dream at first. When I only knew that it was real when she finally stabbed the walker.
Oh, yeah.
And that was it. And then, but even like when she yelled for Daryl, how did no one hear that whatsoever? Yeah. But then they hear the
and
thing
the gunshot. There was a gunshot too.
Oh, there yeah. was, yeah.
That didn't make sense to me. I was like,
so again, blurred lines. I was like, what is happening? Because
maybe
now?
There wasn't a gunshot.
Gunshot. That's but what I'm saying. Maybe not all of it was real. Is what I'm thinking. Yeah. She might have been like in and out during that scene. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. But well, long story short, she gets. Carol gets free,
yeah.
winds up killing all the walkers just once again to prove how bad of a woman she really is. But she cuts her arm, so then they have to take her back to Alexandria in a rush to kind of figure out. Oh, look, you guys, there's our photos.
It's so cute.
I don't know if you guys can actually see them on the screens. Ryan, our wonderful engineer, can like pull a large image up of that, we will get you guys a close-up photo. But yeah, back to Carol really quick. But that photo does look really cute.
Yeah.
She has to get taken back to Alexandria to get patched up by Sadiq, the PTSD doctor.
Yes.
Or the doctor suffering from PTSD. And this is when we see the scene between Eugene and Rosita. Mm-hmm. Now, the only reason I bring this up was because this was a long time coming, you guys. Like, Rosita's been saying this for years.
That's my point, though. She's been saying it. How many times are we going to have to tell Eugene
well,
this?
Okay, I want to hear from the women on the panel, because I'm sure you guys have friend-zoned it. A few men in your life.
Working on doing that right now.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. How does it feel when somebody is so persistent and they just don't get the message?
Well, if you've already told them multiple times, then I, like, don't feel bad at that point. No. You know what I mean? And she, like, still feels bad, though, so maybe that's why we still end up where we do every time. Where yeah. he's like, there's still a chance. She's nice to me.
Right. Yeah.
But it's like, it shouldn't be one or the other. Like, no. She can be nice to you and not in love with you. It's not, the two aren't the same.
I always say that. Especially, like, guys in LA, it's a thing. You're nice to them and they think you're flirting with them.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not. I'm just
a nice
like,
person.
You're like, these are not my moves, honey.
Yeah.
But I understand why it's confused. Like, for Eugene, because he's so in love.
Yeah.
Like, once you know, like, you can be best friends with someone, and then once you know that one person, like, has those feelings, mm-hmm. the friendship does kind of have to yeah. change, and I don't think it's changed between them. So, I'm more so, like, standing up for Eugene in this moment, because... You know, Rosita has been very, very... He should have gotten it
yeah.
by now. But, like, we know Eugene isn't...
No.
Whatever.
He is very, very smart.
He is.
It's true, but
he's not good with social
cues. He's book
cues.
Smart. Socially, he's got some work that needs to be
he's
done.
He's like the character from Dumb and Dumber where he's like,
oh,
so
no.
you're saying there's a chance.
Oh, no.
not saying
and
he's
also,
dumb.
No.
Yeah, no, and I feel like lines are blurred now, too, with the baby, because he's, like, basically... feeding it, scheduling
he's
it.
Yeah.
So I think he's like looking at that too, and he's like taking. But again, I'm sure she hasn't told him, go be my baby daddy, which
right.
he hasn't. So it's like a position he's taken on his own. But I'm sure that's not helping.
Benny, no. I want to get a gentleman's point of view.
I felt for him so bad, and I'm just going to say it. I still have hope for him
Aww.
And Rosita.
Oh,
I really do. Like, Eugene has been one of my favorite characters since he's been introduced, because he is the underdog
yeah.
of the show, and so I just want to see him win and get the girl. So
I mean, I want to see him win just as bad as you do, but I don't think Rosita's a good fit for him.
No, I thought he won the moment that he basically took out Negan's group with the bullets. Like, I was like, that is Eugene
yeah.
right there.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen for him.
But it is nice to see Eugene getting a little bit more physical in this episode with the
yeah.
walkers.
Yeah.
That was cool. That's what I said. Finally,
maybe that's what he needs to do to get the girl. We don't know. Maybe she needs to see some...
She needs to see
yeah.
her training pay off.
Or maybe it's like for Rosita. She was so in love with Abraham, and then he went with Sasha, but guess what? She had another person
mm-hmm.
laying right beside
yeah.
her. So,
maybe
there's somebody for
a new person,
Eugene.
Yes.
Maybe he needs a new person.
Put some feelers
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Get her jealous.
Or get her jealous, yeah. Well, that's a good... Oh, Benny's got tactics, you guys. Instead of Benny.
He's really feeling for Eugene
he
over
really
there.
Is,
yeah.
I want to get back to Carol, because as Carol is laid up, she does have this dream of Daryl and, Henry... the one that you brought up earlier, April. And once again, this was just one of those things where I was like, is she dreaming? Until she looked at her watch. Or until Daryl whipped out his wallet and gave her money. I was like, okay, this is just a dream. But, well, and then obviously Henry is obviously not dead. But
yeah.
I was just, they like I said, they did a really good job at putting us in this mindset of Carolyn, if she's awake or if she's dreaming. And then once she actually does wake up for real, she has this moment with Michonne, and she admits that it really hurts being back there, mm-hmm. just as much as it hurts losing Henry. And Michonne pretty much tells her in very few words that she doesn't necessarily believe that Carol saw those three whispers yeah. in the forest.
Right.
What did you guys think before we went to the final scene? Mm-hmm. Did you guys believe Carol in that moment, or were you like she was hallucinating?
At this point in the episode, I believed her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I was like, she didn't see those. Exactly. Just because when Michonne's like, honey, nobody else saw
We're
them.
We're looking
basically.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no footsteps. Yeah.
They are in the kind of terrain where there wouldn't really be footsteps. Yeah. But I was just like, if anybody, yeah. Daryl would have seen them.
And no three of them? Yeah. How'd you miss three of them? But, you know, you never know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Apparently, they like to be heard and not there, neither.
And I was
They're
like,
good at hiding.
I was like, Carol's an amazing shot. There would be blood somewhere.
Yeah. That's true. That's the fact true. That she missed, too.
Yeah.
But she's, like, super tired. She's on these pills.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, it's messing with her. Yeah. And it's messing with her ability to fight.
Yeah, yeah. It's also messing with her credibility. Because now Michonne just thinks that she's not trustworthy, but not...
Yeah.
That
she doesn't
stuff.
Believe what she's... Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even Daryl believes that she's just seeing stuff.
Right. But come to find out, at the end of the episode, it's we true. See... one of the Whisper Group actually become what they've always wanted to become, what they act as, which is a walker, because Carol shot her. So she is a good shot.
She is. Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But at the time, we think we
right.
miss.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that was a good point, yeah. though. Like, why would you even doubt? Like, if there was somebody yeah. there, she would have shot him.
Which is also so did. Creepy, because she's got the face on already, and...
And then you just see... You wouldn't have known
such
if
a
you
great,
didn't see that.
Yeah. It's so great.
Yeah. Great. I thought it was a great way to end the episode.
It was.
Because
yeah.
all this time, the writers, you know, just... You know, putting these little seeds of doubt in our head about our favorite character, Carol.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, no, she's not crazy.
She's still got it.
She just hallucinates every now and then.
Yeah.
She's hallucinating.
Even under drugs, she's
allowed a day to go crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. So that is our review of the season 10, episode 3 episode of The Walking Dead. Ghost, do you guys have any last minute or last thoughts on the episode?
No.
Great
no?
episode.
It was a very good episode. I really enjoyed it. I want to get into our special segments, everybody. I want to do our favorite kill segment first. This is the point of the episode where we get our favorite kill of the episode. So who was yours, you guys?
I'm going to go with Rosita and just them killing the zombies. Yeah. And yeah, mm-hmm.
That's
that
a
was
one.
A good one.
Yeah.
That was good. I guess I gotta go with my girl Carol when she shot the girl who ended up being the walker.
Yeah,
the
that
walker.
Was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Negan when he saved Aaron that yeah. kill, just because yeah. it was the turning point that it was.
That was a good one. I think mine is going to be going to our girl Carol as well when she was literally hanging upside down
that
and
was
stabbed
good.
Walker in the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, that was pretty cool because yeah. upside down. Enough said.
Upside down kill.
Enough said. Let's get into our MVP of the episode. So this is the character that we feel did the most or that we really responded well to in the episode. It's got to be unanimous. Maybe.
Okay.
Last week it was not. Who do we say?
Michonne, I think.
Oh.
Michonne did do good this
yeah,
week.
She had, yeah, she really displayed her leadership qualities very well this episode. I agree.
I was thinking in my mind either Negan... Or actually, I was thinking Alpha.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, she was.
She did put him in their place.
Yeah. She did.
Put him in
That's
their
true.
Place.
That's
she
true.
Was like, I'm laying down the law.
And she
That's
got
just
her
what
way.
Came to mind. Who did y'all think?
I mean, that's true. I kind of on board for Alpha now.
Me too, actually.
I kind of on board for
yeah.
Alpha, too. That is.
Yeah.
Look
right,
at April.
Alpha.
Alpha. April, you should be a lawyer convincing us on Alpha.
I like it.
That was great. Guy. Let us know who your MVP of the episode was, guys. We've decided that
we
ours was
four
Alpha.
Four Negans, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Negan was a good one, too.
Negan
yeah.
was a good one. It was a very close runner-up, but I think we're going to go with Alpha. I don't know if yeah. she's going to get... an MVP of the episode.
Against,
we might not. We
it
might
may never
wrong.
Happen
never
again.
Right.
I do want to go over to Benny for some news and gossip.
Yeah. So.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So Norman Reedus, we all know he plays Daryl. He's talking about his character and bringing up his sexuality. And so he said that he always plays Daryl as asexual and always reads his character as asexual. And he's
we get
gotten.
That.
I can see that it comes out on screen.
Yeah. And he's gotten a lot of like supportive fan feedback for that. Aww. Like the fans love it. The showrunners, however, they've never confirmed if he's asexual, if he's gay, or if he's straight. So we're just going to have to continue to wait and see.
I'm fine with him being asexual.
That's really great for him to do that, though, too, because he's never had a love storyline, to just play it like that because he never knows what's going to get thrown at him. That's kind of cool.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was excited about him and Connie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really... I mean, I love that he, as an actor, would play it as an asexual character because I think those types of people are very underrepresented anywhere on film and TV. But I really liked him with Connie.
Yeah.
I mean, but we'll see. Yeah. You never know what the writers are going to do. They might just keep Daryl single
for seasons.
Anything else, Benny?
And then one more. Let's talk about Emma Stone. And she's not part of The Walking Dead.
No.
But she is part of that movie.
Zombieland.
Zombieland 2 that's coming out. And there was actually, she wanted a crossover with The Walking Dead and Zombieland 2.
That'd be so cool.
And it actually went so far as they were going to set up a meeting with the people from The Walking Dead and the people from Zombieland. And it was going to be people in the Zombieland, they're walking around, and then they just stumble across the characters from The Walking Dead.
That's so cool.
That would have been amazing, but it just never worked out. They never met. And that would have been so awesome.
That would have been amazing. Opportunity lost.
Yeah, Zombieland 3, let's do it.
Zombieland 3, let's do it. Or just have Emma Stone cross over onto The Walking Dead at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure they would love
to have her.
Yeah.
Yeah, as her character in Zombieland, but like not officially because they don't want to get sued.
Cool.
That's some really great news, news and gossip, Benny. Thank you for that.
Thanks, man.
Let's get into our predictions, you guys. We've got some time to do predictions.
Predictions.
So I want to hear some predictions, you guys. We haven't been able to do any. Those of you in the chat, let us know what you thought about our news and gossip. Let us know if you like Daryl as asexual. Mm-hmm. And let us know some of your predictions as well.
I think that they're the whole group, they're going to start deciding to fight back, a la when Negan was in charge and they were, you know, trying to figure out how to defeat him. I think they're going to start really digging deep and trying to figure out what we can do to stop Alpha.
Yeah. I like that. And I agree. And it's also, they're going to keep coming back and taking more. So, And I want it to be Carol I just want Alpha when she does have to go. I want it to be Carol. I want Carol to be the one that does it.
Yeah.
And I want her to end.
I still stick by the fact that I want it to be Lydia, but I think it should be at least a combo of Lydia.
I just don't have Lydia
and
Ken. But Carol. Maybe she'd help her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
How else would, you know, Alpha get lured anywhere without of Lydia? So
and then she wouldn't have to pull the trigger type of deal.
Something. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's gonna be a combination of the two. Ooh. April?
I agree with everything they all said. Absolutely. I do want to shout out DG again in chat because he said his MVP of the episode was Abraham, aka Michael Cutlets for directing tonight's episode.
He did a good job.
That's so cool.
This is why we love our fans, you guys, because you always give us tidbits of information that we love. That was so great that he's still involved in the Walking Dead universe. Yeah. I love that. I am going to piggyback off of Benny really quick for a prediction. I do think that Negan is going to, you know, they should kind of have Negan have them fight back, but I think Negan and Michonne need to team up. I think they need to let bygones be bygones and have Negan and Michonne team up to kind of...
I feel like Negan would have an idea on how to get rid of this herd.
That's
or
what
at
I
least,
mean.
You know?
Yeah. I can't wait to see Negan and Alpha.
Yeah.
Like, face to face. I
would
love
that.
Just talk.
Two villains.
Yeah. That meetup would be so good.
So good. So good. Let us know what you guys think. Let us know some of your predictions. I mean, we've already got some MVPs of the episode in the chat. You guys, thank you so much for joining us in the chat. It was on fire tonight. Oh, you guys were on fire tonight.
You were on fire.
You stop it. Let us know. Let them know where they can find you guys.
Hey, guys. You can find me all over social media at Krista Flungy.
Y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhand.
And you guys can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams.
And you guys can find me everywhere at I Am Timothy Mike. Don't forget, you guys, we've got our sneak peek of our photos coming up next week. They're already on the screen, but I don't know if you can see them. But we'll see you guys next week with our promo photos.
See you guys later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.